You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL podcast has its swagger back.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some familiar heroes. Mark Sessler, Christoph Wessling, and the great Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan. Why did you make my name French?
I don't know. It just felt right.
I like that. That sticks. Christoph. Maybe German.
No, that's definitely French. Christoph.
Chris Wessling, welcome back from Chicago after a long week about. And we, of course, had you on the phone on Saturday night after the end of the 2015 NFL draft. But it's not the same. Get Wes back in the studio. Welcome home.
It's great to be back.
All right, that's today's podcast. So we will be back. How was the flight back? Any stories you want to share with us right now? How you doing, buddy?
The flight back was pretty uneventful. That's all I got. I mean,
that's a good change of pace for you with the NFL media.
Uneventful travel, good. Wessling came in like a house on fire while Connor Orr was here last week, sitting in Wes's chair, occupying Chris's workspace. Wessling found all these things about what Connor had done that he didn't like.
I always keep a napkin supply of at least 20 or 30 napkins. In case, you know, because we eat lunch at our desks, and it was down to like two napkins. It wasn't replenished, and I thought that was a little bad house guest, a little like that from Connor. Mm-hmm. There was an extra remote at my desk. There was a lot of papers around.
Oh, yeah, what a jerk. He left you extra remote controls.
Well, you only need one.
I wish extra ones showed up wherever I went. That'd be fun life.
No, I'm just kidding. Connor took great care of my personal space.
Wait, you said it'd be a fun life of extra remote controllers?
Yeah, just everywhere you go.
Totally redundant technology. That's what I want.
Greg, your beard is thickening.
Yeah, I'll have to shave it. We have an NFL Now segment tomorrow. We've been a little lighter on the Now, so you know the only reason I shave is for NFL Now. It's been about a week.
What about these high-octane meetings that you have to attend? They don't care if you shave or not?
No one said anything.
Mm-hmm. At least not to you. Yeah, you need a young cherub boy with a straight edge razor and powder going across
your
scalp.
Well, they do that. Yeah, they do that in the makeup room.
That's next. That's the next thing we come in. It's where he'll be in one of those chairs that are tilted back and be like three cherub boys.
He's always wandering up and down the hallway with like trumpeteers, small 7 and 8 year old trumpeteers announcing his arrival and departure.
A fife.
Not cheap, by the way.
So, Greg, that's Greg on the throne of ease, as always, looking a little scruffy and a little sexy, let's be honest. big show today as we now, you know, we were talking, Greg, yesterday about how those two post-draft shows, we hit a lot of stuff, but it would be good to basically hit every team now this week and talk about where these teams are at. So that's what we're going to do over the next two shows. Every team in the NFL we're going to hit, starting with the AFC in a segment we call Around the AFC in 48 Minutes.
Woo!
Which, oh my God, that sounds exciting. TD, we're going to need some type of excitement music around that, maybe some blockbuster celebration for what seems to be a major event on the podcast. We're going to go through each of the 16 teams in the AFC, exactly 3 minutes each. And TD, when the 3 minutes are up, how will we know to move on? Do you have anything for us there?
I got something for you guys. I got a little something. We can do a couple options. We can go with this.
Boring.
More standard. Or we can go with this.
Oh, yeah. That takes me back to the Jersey Shore and the clubs.
Like, don't know about that.
Go home.
They had like the they used to have like the foghorn. They'd be like, everybody like, dun, 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 and then I'm like, and everybody go, ah. It was a weird time.
We're right there with
you. I can think of nowhere I would rather be than that.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I don't even
the opposite of what you said is what you meant.
Yes.
So anyway, we're going to hit up all the AFC teams on today's show. On Thursday's show, we'll hit all the NFC teams, do 3 minutes on each team, and then keep moving. And like a freight train, each of us will throw out four. Each of us will throw out for each of the teams we're assigned to something, a takeaway of sorts, or a question, or a criticism, or a compliment for these teams after the draft process and after free agency is done and all that good stuff. So we're going to be doing that today. We're also going to, I guess, do a little bit of news, not a lot of news to get to, but there is some big news also in the studio. I already touched base with them behind the glass, but TD has returned. And, you know, it is, listen, we're not going to lie about this. It could be a little strange after the gold standard. Was
is this Roxette?
Yes, we were. You know, gold standard holds a special place in our heart. We loved him. It must have been love, but it is, as Roxette said in '90 on the Pretty Woman soundtrack. It's over now. TD's back.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Get that music.
You
out.
Handled that well.
You're a pretty woman too, TD.
No, it's all good. I mean, first of all, glad to be back. Fun times in Chicago for the draft. Just creating small talk with Chris Wesley. Now I was like, hey, Chris, going to see Avengers tonight. You want to come with? And he's like, no, I got to go clean out my sock drawer.
In the hotel.
You know? Like, wow. Come on.
How was it, by the way?
It was fun. It was good times. Did some stuff.
No, the movie. I'm throwing you a bone here.
Oh, the movie was, it wasn't the first one.
Yeah.
It wasn't as fun.
First one was, like, for all the needling that I take part in with the rest of the group here. The first one was a legitimately fun action movie.
So it wasn't as fun as that, and it wasn't as well-crafted a movie as Winter Soldier, but, you know, we get into that some other time.
All right.
Back
in
the pod.
Area sequel goes off a cliff.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
The other time will be the Dave Damashek podcast. That's the other time.
The gold standard, he did a great job filling in for you last week. But
awesome job.
We move forward. We have to move forward. And we hold him close to our hearts. But at the same time, this is your ship, buddy.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Behind the glass, that's your world.
And today's money tag open, which Greg once again did not like, was just stating that fact. You know, the show has a swagger back.
Oh,
you
wow.
I like it
more now that it was just.
See,
you know,
the funny thing
yourself
is,
up.
Wes thought that was about him. But
well,
you're
it's
saying about,
it's about
you.
It's about, it's sort of like about both of us. It's kind of like how. Let's put it this way. Goldstein is a great guy. He's more Enya, and, like, you know, the show was like me and Wes are more like, you know?
So a downgrade.
All right. Well, okay. That's a good way to look at it. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, for sure. So welcome back, TD. All right. So here we go. Let's start, and let's do some news. All right.
Let's do it.
Wow, that threw me for a loop.
That's my old dare, the gold standard. In all seriousness, man, one of the greatest guys I've ever met, man. So he's in Japan right now doing God knows what. But, you know, good luck to him.
Gozira.
That's my guy.
I would send a message to him, but we know he'll never listen to a show about
it's
American football.
It's over. We're cutting ties. It was a great run, though. All right. We're only going to do one bit of news because it doesn't really fit in with the rest of today's show, but it's something we need to hit on. It's this Lyle Collins situation, the offensive lineman who from LSU, who was supposed to go in the first round in the draft. However, ex-girlfriend who was murdered, and then her unborn child, actually, who initially did not die in the attack, ended up dying afterwards. So there's two deaths involved, and Collins was not seen as a suspect, but was the police wanted to talk to him. He's connected to the investigation, led to him not being drafted at all, as we know. So now Now is the next part. So he's not drafted. Where does he end up? This is a stud offensive lineman, and this is where we're at right now. First of all, still not a suspect, right, Greg?
Not a suspect, and he met with police on Monday.
Met with police, and now there are teams sniffing around. We'll start with Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. Rex has an impromptu dinner with Collins on Monday night, which was, according to Rap Sheet, not something that was he said it was unsanctioned. It was. I don't know exactly what that meant.
I edited that out of the copy, because what did that mean, unsanctioned?
It's, there's something illicit about unsanctioned, you know what I mean? Right,
that he said unsanctioned. I was like, well, is there a commission that sanctions meetings between undrafted free agents and coaches?
I don't know.
I guess what it was the agent literally didn't know about it. That Rex just somehow set it up with the player
Rexy.
Himself.
Shocking,
I think that was
Rex
it.
Would do that.
And then Rap Sheet reported that Collins is meeting with several Dolphins players and former LSU teammates today. Per a source informed of the meeting, the Cowboys and Dolphins are among the teams that are interested in Collins. But first things first, he's got to be completely cleared of this situation. So it's obviously a unique situation, and we have no idea which way it's going to go. But it's not going to be a bidding war because it's locked into a certain level of pay for an undrafted free agent, correct?
That's right, but you can get around it. In small ways, you could guarantee his full contract. I think teams will just offer to do that, and you can make it a four-year contract that voids after three if you play a certain amount, and so that he can get to free agency a little sooner. So that's a small plus. But otherwise, no, you can only give him what $20,000-$40,000 maybe as an undrafted free agent for a signing bonus and minimum salaries. Otherwise,
watching it unfold, just day by day of the draft, it was obviously kind of unprecedented. Whether if he's completely innocent, there's going to be a lot of people going crazy that he lost money and the league didn't handle it well or the police didn't handle it well, X, Y, and Z. Well, because this is a potential first-round guy. But there's also, it tells you a lot about certain NFL teams, because there's the group that will never go near this player because of what might say about them and what they're okay with or not okay with. And then there's teams that are like, we're diving right in.
Help me understand the logic here. It's not okay to spend a 7th-round draft pick on him. But it is okay to go out recruiting him?
Well, it's...
Either way, you're associated with the player.
But
why not just take a chance on him in the 7th round?
It's a lot different than having him on the roster, just meeting with him in case he's cleared. I think it is.
I don't think it is.
It's an employee of the company.
But in terms
either of way, you don't know... There's no reason to feel guilty about it because he hasn't been cleared yet, but he's not a suspect.
Right.
So why not
Wes
take a chance?
Right. Yeah, it's like
perception-wise,
you've still muddied the waters.
Because you want him on your team, and he explicitly told teams, don't draft me on the third day of the draft or I'm not going to sign. And if they respected that enough, I guess that's why people didn't take him.
Because that's happened in the past, that a team has drafted a player and he chose not to sign, and then he went into what, the supplemental draft? Is that how it happened?
In the past decade, has that happened?
It's a little confusing because they tried to apply for this supplemental draft, and that wasn't going to happen. I guess what he could have done is played in the CFL or something like that and then signed
what
with the
mess.
NFL.
I would have called his bluff.
I know. I thought a team might have called his bluff, but the fact that he hadn't met with police at that point, people were scared. I think Aaron Hernandez's situation is hanging over all of this. But if you put all that aside, and we're not talking about innocent or good, it is a fascinating situation. It's like a college recruiting game that you get a free first-round pick out of it. And so, of course, some teams at least, are going to start trying to recruit in any way possible. Because imagine what teams give up for a first-round pick. How much goes into a trade where you get a first-round pick, and then here's just one sitting there for free. So it doesn't surprise me that teams are going a little crazy trying to go get him.
Like Adrian Peterson, that's the value.
Right, it's crazy.
Well,
and you don't have to give up anything for it. So I'm sure – I don't know about why Rex was in Louisiana or whatever, but he's probably like, I can get a first-round pick. I'm going down there. I mean, it's crazy.
Rex going for it. That's such a classic Rex move, by the way. All right, so yeah, that's what's happening. That's the biggest news thing to keep an eye on post-draft is where this Collins ends up, if he ends up anywhere, and that's what's happening. Now, let's talk about around the AFC in 48 minutes, because it's very important that we have the rules straight, because we're trying to do this in 48 minutes, because there's no sense calling it around the AFC in 48 minutes if we can't pull it off, or at least 48 and 53 seconds. We got to be in the 48 zone or we fail. We're going to be tracking this very closely. So the way to do it, Greg and Wes and Mark, because we all love to talk, big old yappers in this room, we got to shut up. Got to shut up when that buzzer, the sound, let's hear it again. When that hits, if you're in the middle of a point, all right, get out. You have 3 to 5 seconds to finish what you're saying. Don't dare continue the conversation because we're moving on to the next team. That seems fair, right?
It's only fair.
Society needs rules and structure.
And less talking.
Thank you for pardon the interruptioning our podcast.
Is that what this is?
It's basically kind of,
is this just a ripoff of part of the interruption? I didn't realize until right now.
It's kind of like around the NFL horn, too.
There's a horn, too.
That's true. Yeah, except we're not all wildly unlikable. Give me a break.
Jim Cohen created this today's version.
Shots fired.
Actually, around the horn's probably not as bad as it used to be, but when it was starting out, it was one of the worst things ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Bob Ryan about this.
Bob Ryan's great.
Bob Ryan's awesome.
But not everyone. They have the Woody Pages, Jay Mariotti.
Yeah, that's enough stink.
That's Greg Rosenthal of Santa Monica, California.
Jay Mariotti, I can get
if Mariotti comes to find you, just call me. I'll help you out.
Okay.
I'll help out with that, too. I'll do my honor. All right, so let's do it. Why don't we start? All right, so we broke it up with each of us taking a team from each division, all through the 8 divisions, so one of us each. And we'll start with the AFC, as I said, and why don't we start with AFC East? And that's a fun way to get it going. So, all right, here we go. You ready, TD? Why don't you give us a horn to get us going? We're going to start with the New England Patriots, who are, by the way, the defending champions, Greg, as you know, on your Throne of Ease. They no longer have either starting cornerback. This is my takeaway. They no longer have either starting quarterback from last year. Didn't draft a corner in Chicago until the 7th round. Will they regret this, or do we trust old Double B to scheme it up and make it work with the Rashay Caldwells and the Troy Browns of the world? Are they going to get it done, or are they going to live to regret this?
Not only that, but they just released Alphonso Denard.
Yeah, who played, had some good moments for them, didn't seem to fit in. I think they will regret it. I have faith in their ability to win with a mediocre secondary, but I don't have faith that this secondary will be any good.
Well,
if
maybe
that makes any sense.
Maybe Bill Belichick came to the conclusion, which is mostly correct, that he's shown no ability to draft cornerbacks, so he just stopped doing it.
Well, but he took.
But he's still gonna have somebody back there.
Well, they do. There's plenty of time left.
He took
to people.
A safety in the 2nd round, which is so reminiscent of all their terrible 2nd round picks in the defensive backfield, kind of a guy that no one expected going before the 5th round, not that physically gifted, and his name is Jordan Richards from Stanford. Maybe he'll be great. What do I really know? But it's very reminiscent of Rashai Dowling, Tavon Wilson, and a lot of other lousy 2nd round picks they've had in the backfield.
What I do like what they've done is I think there's been an emphasis on completely redoing the defensive line and changing the way that team stops the run. And, you know, he likes to get frisky with his front 7, so the secondary maybe.
And that's all fine, but I know from first-hand experience with the Jets last year, if you keep putting off the secondary, you could build up that D-line all you want or that front 7. Teams can pick you apart if you don't have talent back there. I would be nervous on the Throne of Ease that you're going to be very susceptible against the pass.
Yeah.
Maybe Belichick knows that Malcolm Butler isn't a one-game wonder.
No, I think he likes Butler.
They do
a
like
lot.
Him.
That's part of it. But Kyle Arrington, Logan Ryan, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung. I don't think it's
Bradley
the worst.
Bradley Fletcher.
I don't think it's the worst secondary in the league, but it's below
one
average.
Minute.
What else do we like about them? Well, I like the fact that they took Brian Stork's old teammate at Florida State. Maybe that's a new trend. You take the center 1 year, he was great as a rookie, and then you take the good guard right next to him. They know how to work together.
What about you have any issue that they didn't add a wide receiver?
No, not at all. I think that's one of the better positions.
They've got Amendola.
Oh, here we go.
I love that.
Can he put it together in the regular season? Amendola, can he be a guy 16 games, not just the playoffs, is a stud for them? Chris Wesley.
No, he's not. He's not a stud, and I've never claimed he's a stud. He's a perfectly good number 3 wide receiver.
And I count Gronk as one of their receivers. I mean, they're not great out wide, but I do like the fact their biggest need in the entire draft by far to me was defensive tackle, and they took a defensive tackle with the first pick. They needed that.
P-check, 1 to 10 after the draft about this team not getting back to the Super Bowl.
That's a 1.
They haven't got no pee in their pants. There ain't no pee in his pants.
Why should Greg be worried?
I don't know. I was hoping he might have some pee in his pants.
All right, well.
I'm enjoying this 4th title. It was fantastic.
Oh, up next, there it is. Up next, the New York Jets, Greg Rosenthal.
I like how you subtly are putting them number 2 in the division already, right
like
behind
it.
Actually, you're going to put them first. All right, let's start with their wide receiver group after taking Devin Smith, who's supposed to be really good at tracking the deep ball. Do the Jets have one of the sneaky best wide receiver groups in the NFL now? Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, and a guy who some people remind them of Decker, Devin Smith.
I think it's
a physical guy that can get deep.
Yeah, I mean, the issue that we had with them last offseason was that they went out and paid Eric Decker a ton of money, and he was stuck being their number one, and that's not what he is. He's actually perfectly slotted now to duplicate some of the previous success he had if there's anything coming from the quarterback position. And this front office has been aggressive about giving weapons to Geno Smith and slash Ryan Fitzpatrick. I really, really like what the Jets have done over the last couple months.
I love the draft, as I said on Saturday, but I am a little concerned. I still think about Stephen Hill, another quote-unquote one-trick pony, who was supposed to be the guy that could stretch the field, and he never developed. And what we hear about Devin Smith, if you want to talk about the cons to the draft pick, is that he doesn't have like a polished route tree. He's not a guy that is a complete receiver in any regard at this point. He's a guy that right now could run past people and tracks a deep ball well and can make plays, but will he develop into something else? The good news, and the reason I'm really excited, is that they don't need him to be an underneath guy right now.
Right.
Because they got some of the best possession receivers in the league right now, in my opinion, in Decker and Marshall. He just can blow the top off defenses while he learns the rest of the game.
Go routes, slants, crossers, and end-arounds. That's his job.
How about that little subtle shot at Eric Decker calling him a possession receiver?
That's accurate.
Okay. You used to say he could get deep a little
more.
He
did get deep.
But he doesn't have Peyton Manning as a quarterback anymore.
The other thing I thought was interesting about this draft, when you drafted Leonard Williams, does that mean that Muhammad Wilkerson is hurt in his contract leverage, and does it mean that Wilkerson's not going to be on the team in a year?
Huge loser. In terms of the contract situation, he lost all his leverage, and he had to be pissed. I mean, you think about, like, when we were going through the first round on Thursday, like, what we're thinking, like, his guys are falling. What is Mo Wilkerson thinking when all of a sudden Williams falls and they take him? He's in a bad spot, but they still can franchise him after this year. He still could be around for a couple more years, and all of a sudden he's 27 or 28.
The only thing, and Dan, you mentioned this before the draft, that you didn't want to see them, and to have Leonard Williams fall to them was the best thing you could ask for New York. But then to eventually see that he's just really replacing Wilkerson down the road versus just adding strength.
Right.
And that's what you don't want to see in New York is, all right, well, because we're not going to be able to re-sign player A, we have to draft his replacement now.
I don't quite buy it either. To me, maybe he's more of a replacement for Snacks Harrison, and then you have Wilkerson, Williams, and Richardson right next to each other.
Chris.
One quick point, Chris.
We make too much out of starting lineups. Yeah. Every team in the NFL uses a rotation at defensive line.
Chris Wessling, the Buffalo Bills.
Starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor aside, do the Bills have the strongest roster in the entire AFC?
Whoa.
Wow.
Hubba, hubba.
And the draft really helped you clinch that, or just generally?
Well, they got stronger at cornerback. They picked up a guard. Look, I mean, we already think they have one of the strongest front sevens. Then they pick up Percy Harvin's to go with Sammy Watkins and Charles Clay and
wildly
your
deep,
boy Robert Woods.
Wildly deep at running back, too. Just because I barely watched any college football, I was always surprised that Carlos Williams from Florida State was not thought of highly because he just looked like an NFL back, and he's a deep guy, too. It's an awesome roster.
I think also, you know, we asked this question about the Bills last year, like outside the quarterback situation, are they a playoff team? And even then I thought potentially, and they went out and won a bunch of games last year with a milquetoast, you know, offense. But now you've added Rex Ryan too, and you've got Greg Roman. I think the entire coaching staff has their head on straight. There were issues with last year's coach and GM from the start, and I think that undermined a lot of what was going on. So, yes, the Bills, I mean, you know, Dan put the Jets number two in the AFC East.
I didn't.
I don't know about that.
I was just sort of making
that. Well, no, just the order that we did. I don't know. I don't know what you guys got cooked
behind
the scenes.
These are not power rankings as well. Let me make that clear. Yeah, I don't want to be the guy, because I hate when people say it about the Jets, oh, but you have no quarterback, F you. But they don't have a quarterback still, so it's like, F you. I mean, am I supposed to get so excited?
That's the same with the Bills, though, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This feels like a trend in the NFL right now. Everybody points to the Seahawks and says, look, with a strong running game and a great defense, you can win in the NFL. Jets, Bills, Rams, Browns, they're all trying this.
Right, but they don't have Russell.
They don't have Russell
or Marshawn Lynch.
These teams are all test cases. How far can you go with your Tyrod Taylor
as a
quarterback?
Let's say what Wes is throwing out there. Let's say they do have – there's some way to compute this, and they actually have the best roster in the AFC. And then Greg Rosenthal's boy, Matt Cassel –
I think he's good enough.
Well, it turns into he turns back the clock and he has that.
See if he can beat out Tyrod.
2008 Patriots season or that one good Chiefs season. That's a division contender if they get decent play out of quarterback.
I think they're a playoff team. I'll probably be putting them in the playoffs. You know, when we make those things. The draft, let's be honest, it wasn't a spicy draft for them. I mean, I don't know where the starters are in this draft. They drafted Ronald Darby in the second round. He's probably maybe their third cornerback, and they drafted a guard, John Miller. So really, this was a draft that Sammy Watkins was kind of the main guy they got.
Unless they get their first-round pick back with Lyle Collins.
Ooh,
maybe Belichick.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Chunky.
Maybe Bill Belichick looked around the division and said, oh, yeah, we don't need cornerbacks. Because ain't no one throwing the ball in the AFC East outside of New England.
It's interesting because they did draft a couple guards. It's amazing how good the defensive lines are. They're trying to protect Brady. Maybe you're right.
You build a bully. You got Richie Incognito in town. Everybody's really excited.
Hopefully they drafted the replacement for Richie Incognito.
I mean, they did. John Miller.
I know.
Mark Sessler, the Miami Dolphins.
Well, the Dolphins are a team that there's talent there as well, but I look at the organization and wonder, the front office is all wacky because Tenenbaum seems much more powerful than the actual general manager, and Philbin feels like an absolute lame duck coach to me. But instead, you know, Bill Lazor sitting there running the offense, that's my boy, and I like what they did in the draft number one. They went out after trading away Mike Wallace, a total head case. Devontae Parker, I think, is a first week starter right there and might end up being the best rookie wide receiver. He's right in that mix. And guys, like, you know what? That means you don't have to rely necessarily on Greg Jennings doing anything if he even makes the team. Guy like Kenny Stills gets pushed down the depth chart, and they needed to improve the passing game for sure. And I think that's my starting point is I think Miami's serious about giving Ryan Tannehill some weapons. They went out and got Jordan Cameron as well, and changing what was a pretty boring passing game 2 years ago got a little bit better last year.
Think Kenny Stills or Greg Jennings are fighting for a spot, and you would not totally sure if Greg Jennings is going to make this team.
Not now.
Do you need Greg Jennings as a fourth
receiver?
Didn't
they give him $4 million guaranteed?
Was it all guaranteed?
They did.
Then he is making.
They did
the team.
Pay him.
Got to make the
team.
Maybe they're splitting the snaps up. Jarvis Landry. They do have a lot of people to throw to though that weren't there last year. Stills, Parker, and Cameron.
The other thing, you know, I look at Lamar Miller, and I think that's a team that wants to run the ball as well. And he was, his first 1,000-yard season last year. But
he
then
was
they go
great
out
last year.
Yeah, I thought he was good, but they go out and get stronger. They draft Jay Ajayi. Is that how you say it?
Ajayi, which a lot of people thought was going to go in the second round.
Well, it was a steal in the fifth round. So I think that, you know, a lot of emphasis after, you know, getting the Ndamukong Suh on defense. I think they really want to see if they can be this, you know, Bill Lazor Eagles-esque offense, if it's going to translate or not.
They'll live to regret the Suh contract. Let's face it, they gave too much money to that guy. But the way this roster is set up right now, with Suh in his prime, and if Tannehill takes the next step, this is a great division to track. You can make a real case for every team in the division to win. So I think they came out of both free agency and the draft in a very good spot to contend, personally.
Ajayi is someone to watch because just from the sound of it, he sounded like a guy who could have been the third running back off the board here, and then he has a foot injury, and so that totally crushed him. And I think teams sometimes overreact to the short-term injury thing because this is a four-year contract with a guy that could be a big factor this year.
And I think if you watched them earlier last year, they wanted Sean Marino to be that guy.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lamar Miller, for all the impressive season, is not a power back. And like Tannehill, he definitely benefited from a gimmick offense.
I like Miller, but he's not, to me, like a three-down running back. He's a perfect committee back that you keep in the mix.
By the way, just to prove to you guys that this is not a power rankings by any stretch, let's move on to the AFC North.
Whoa!
And we'll start with the Cleveland Browns, who, I liked what they did. We talked about meat and potatoes draft for the Browns. Not a lot of sizzle, but just try to get better, make their roster better. But here's what I really liked is after all the talk of Johnny Manziel, them being basically they're moving on, they don't want anything to do with him, they're giving up. That's not how the draft played out because they didn't draft a quarterback, and maybe they wanted Bryce Petty and the Jets moved up a spot to maybe get him, so the Browns didn't get him first. But at the end of the day, Manziel is still, to me, in the mix. And if Josh McCown can't get the job done and Manziel keeps his head on straight, he's going to get another shot at this. And I think he deserves another shot at this. I think maybe deserves a strong word, but the Browns should have him get another shot at this because they invested so highly in him. So when the 2015 season's over I think Manziel is going to get some starts, and I think that's a good thing. I think they need to see this through, good or bad.
I think for me, you know, I would want to see them give him a larger leash than seven quarters when, you know, clearly his life was in trouble back then. It's going to depend on who he is off the field, how hard he works. The biggest issue that red light for me was, number one, physically. He did not look like an NFL quarterback on the field last year. And it's week 12, week 13, and everyone wants to see how great Kyle Shanahan is, but there is some responsibility of a coaching staff to know that your players by week 12, week 13 know the playbook, and he didn't at all. So there's got to be more accountability with him from the start. But the Browns, it's just like Wes mentioned, they're one of these teams that are doing all they can to increase where they can be strong and make a difference while you still have a hole at the quarterback
position.
They're
upfront about it. Petten on Monday said in the interview, we're doing as much as we can to minimize the quarterback position. He used those words. Sounds dangerous to me. And they were really getting annoyed.
Sounds like straight out of the Rex Ryan handbook, by the way.
But he's like saying it, minimize. Yeah. And he was getting really annoyed with all the questions about quarterback when he wanted to talk about, you know, the five picks they had in the first three rounds.
If you're hiding your quarterback, you're admitting a weakness. I mean, a weakness is debilitating.
And it is a weakness. But also the reality is fans are like, why didn't you go get this guy? Well, it was the worst offseason in a while to get any sort of free agent quarterback.
Right.
And they did try to trade for Sam Bradford. They did try to trade up to get Mariota. And those things, that's expensive, and that didn't work.
Although,
they weren't just sitting pat, but it didn't happen the way some
thought.
I
don't criticize the Browns much. I know you're sensitive to that, and I have nothing to criticize them for. For one thing, I think they can take a little bit of a fair criticism. They like throwing these little nuggets out there, like the Bradford and the Mariota interest, to pacify the fans and make everyone feel like, oh, they're really trying to do the right thing. But then they don't do it.
They do seem to me, they come off as a reactionary franchise, and that's why I like that they stayed put at QB.
Yep.
They're showing some patience, and maybe it pays off.
I don't know why, but I'm convinced Danny Shelton's going to be like the defensive rookie of the year right in the mix.
Yeah, we never really criticized the Browns on here.
You are a factory of sadness!
Mark, completely silent there. Cincinnati Bengals, Greg Rosenthal.
I love the horn, by the way, and I love the way that the Bengals listen to Andrew Whitworth, dare them to take
oh, that was the best.
A tackle, dare you to replace me, and in the most Mike Brown move ever, of course he took him up on it, take Cedric Abouye in the first round. This is a guy, by the way, someone had number one overall pick in a September or October mock last year. So
did you see what they picked in the second round too?
And then the second round, they do it again. I mean, to me, isn't...
Forget you, all your great service, Andre Whitworth. Forget that you were the best pass-protecting left tackle in the league last year. We're going to bang you publicly and humiliate you.
And I'm wondering, you know, they've invested a lot in these two tackles. Doesn't this seem like the most Mike Brown thing ever? Vindictive a little bit?
It does. I'm not sure Mike Brown's really running
right. The
personnel department anymore, but Whitworth, like you guys said, I mean, a heck of a player and the closest thing they have to a true team leader and one of the best dudes in the NFL. So, yeah, you're really hanging
hard knocks, nice guy.
Yeah.
It's weird because they have – their tackles are among the best tackle tandems in the league, Andre Smith and Andrew Whitworth. Now, Andre Smith's not coming off his best year and Whitworth's older, but they really drafted depth here in the first couple of rounds. Not a spicy draft for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, it's another team where you've got an issue at quarterback, and Hugh Jackson wants to run the ball, and I think they unearthed a great number one running back in Hill last year. Hmm. And so keep getting deeper along the offensive line. I have no problem with that because some of these guys, I'm sure you can move them inside, do certain things with them if you really need to, but you know, keeping around left tackles, keeping that position strong, I don't have a problem at all.
Are they a better team now than they were last year? I mean, I guess getting healthy will make them better, all the guys they had injured. But by far their biggest issue last year was they had the worst pass rush in the NFL. And they didn't draft a pass rusher.
That's your critique.
They drafted two backup tackles.
Right. And their third-round pick, Paul Dawson, got a lot of love from TCU as kind of that heady, really productive inside linebacker that falls too far in the draft because he's not, you know, blowing up. You know, he had a very, very slow
40 again,
time.
A guy who's like going to ride the pine as a rookie.
Bengals have now two tight ends named Tyler. I call that a red flag. The third-round pick, Tyler Kroft. This is, you know, it's not really a sexy pick. The pick analysis, according to Mike Mayock on our draft page, Kroft is one of the real solid guys who, as the draft process moved on, gained more steam. Okay.
Exciting. He's still a backup
negative.
Tight end. They also drafted the guy from USC that jumped out of the window and then said he saved his drowning cousin.
That guy.
He went in the
USC
fourth round,
guy.
Josh Shaw. you know, it's nice to see him land on his feet.
That was, Ooh. Wow, we should have stopped the podcast because we'll never get better than that. Did you say tough to endure, Mark?
That line was...
Yeah, I'm embarrassed by it.
I think we just need to move on because... Chris Lessling, let's talk a little Baltimore Ravens.
Well, we know they lost Torrey Smith, Owen Daniels, and Bernard Pierce in the offseason. They go and draft replacements for each one of those guys. Brashad Perriman, Max Williams, known as the best tight end in the draft, and Javorius Allen. So they've replaced those guys, but we also see that sometimes relying on rookies, you get left empty-handed a little bit. Should the Ravens be considered the favorites in the division now that they have replaced those guys?
Well, I mean, they have to work out, but they, you know, kind of what I would say about Pittsburgh too. Baltimore didn't get cute after a lot of wind about we love our young wide receiving group, and in fact, hey, we don't even know if we need to draft a tight end. We're just so happy with all our young players. They go out and do both, and that's what they should have.
Smoke screen. Yeah, and they took two tight ends. They took a guy in the fifth round, Nick Boyle, who a lot of people liked, a guy from Delaware. How about the Delaware factory going into Baltimore? I mean,
the Blue Hens.
They just wanted someone to hang out with Flacco because they know they're going to cut his best friend Dennis Pitta or his career.
I like how Greg just wanted to talk about Delaware.
Oh, that's a good
goth prog rock band.
That tells me their scouting
outfit.
Department can't go more than a state over to find players. Lazy.
Harbaugh talked about it, that this was a draft where the need happened to meet up with their board perfectly.
Well, that's what, come on, everyone that. Always says that.
I would like a coach or GM to come out and say, like, the need never met up with our board. We're banged.
We got desperate.
It's over.
I don't think the Ravens are the favorite to answer your question. Why are they? Why would
they have
the
fewer
favorite?
Weak spots than any other
than Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh has. I mean, what's going on in their secondary?
Well, we can discuss that in a minute. Let's not steal my fire entirely.
Well, I think Pittsburgh would be the favorite to me because they have the best quarterback and they have the best strength, which is that offense. That offense is so good. It's the one thing I know in the division. Is going to be great. Or I think it's going to be great. And I don't know. I'm not totally sure about anything else. So
isn't the Ravens' defense just as good as the Steelers' offense?
I don't know. Big Ben's the difference to me. But I think every year what we're told is these teams just flip. They're both there.
The Ravens' Twitter feed also tells us, hashtag, and Ozzie we trust. So we do give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's why this is another hard division to figure out. But you know the Ravens are going to win between 9.5 and 10.5 games.
Yeah, it's true.
Book it.
Comes down
to 10?
Probably. Yeah, they go 10-6 like every year to me. So that's where we're going to end up.
Deadly accurate in my book.
Well, yeah, well, book it.
What do you guys think of the double X at the end of Max Williams, though?
I don't know. I like it. Makes it memorable.
What about
makes
the double G extreme. At the end of Greg Rosenthal?
That's true. It's similar.
It's like making your Mountain Dew red.
You should almost go with a nut. You know, they should go with another X if you're going to go that far. Just.
Did you do any research on footprints in the sand?
Nice Connor Orr joke Greg passed along there.
That wasn't supposed to be a joke.
Does that make him? Never mind.
All right.
Footprints in the sand. I'm not a Bible reader, so. No.
It wasn't in the Bible.
We gathered that. It's not inside that book.
Mark Sessler, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, you know, the Steelers, some of these smoke screens that are thrown around before the draft are mind-boggling and they're tedious. And Steelers are like, we're secure enough to not throw that your way. They said over and over, we have a couple of needs. We've got a need in the secondary, and we have a needed outside linebacker. The GM said this is one of the best class we've seen for pass rushers, and that's probably what we're going to go do, and that's exactly what they did. They went out and drafted Bud Dupree.
I like that you tie smoke screens back to security and insecurity. I like that.
Well, I think the Steelers don't have to, you know, take you down a million different pathways. This is what we like. This is what we need. And, you know, I don't think Pittsburgh had enough picks to go out and address correctly with value and where they were all the issues going on with their defense because Troy Polamalu is gone. You know, people can say Ike Taylor is gone. That may be addition by subtraction. I know he's a friend of Damashek, but his career was on the way out. And that's just – they need to get younger, and they've gone out, and they've done what they can. I thought they did a good job in the first round. But it's more about what are the young players going to do in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of leaders and you know, proven dudes walking out the door.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. All of these picks they've invested, Ryan Shazier, Jarvis Jones, now Bud Dupree – and a guy like Shamarco Thomas, who was a mid-round pick a few years and has been their fourth safety instead of their guy coming off the bench, too. They've had Will Allen playing over him. So all these draft picks have to pan out. They, you know, the guy Stephon Tuitt they drafted last year in the second round. These guys need to be what they projected them to be, or else they're not going to win the division.
Yeah. Jarvis Jones has been a bust.
So far, yeah.
For 2 years, you haven't gotten really anything out of him. He's not on the field that much in the playoff games. And so you draft Dupree, who in theory is a competition for him, or maybe he'll be starting with him. The fact that they brought back James Harrison at all is a sign that they knew they had problems there.
And I know they didn't focus on offense and they didn't need to, but it is interesting reading some of the stuff that came out of the draft that they absolutely seem to love Sammy Coates, the wide receiver they got. And he may not have a big chance to play, and he had drops issues in college, but they called him a first-round talent.
It's a big-time pick, a third-round pick on a receiver when you're a wildly deep at receiver. I mean, he got the T.O. comparisons because he's just a physical monster that just can't catch the ball.
Yeah, I think the draft Knicks
loves. I was like, what? I'm going to the Hall of Fame.
The draft Knicks love this, the late round picks here. I heard a lot of praise for Doran Grant that when people were scouting Bradley Roby, that Grant outplayed him. Anthony Chiquillo and Gerard Holloman, all the draft Knicks loved all those guys.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think Senquez Golson is going to just change the entire division.
Well, not if you watch that
temperature. I don't really
that
know.
That Iowa
anything.
Game, he fell out. He's not even on
the He's a second round pick, and I don't know anything about you. Sorry, Senquez.
We move on to the AFC South.
I have time to say something on a smokescreen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just like how some blogs keep sites, keep track of like mock drafts and who got it right, who got it wrong, we should keep track of like team and their smokescreen.
Well, we did do that.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, well, there were two different articles on our site dedicated to that dynamic, so good call on your part.
Awesome.
Well, we didn't go after the fact.
Or maybe not reading
wrong.
The site. One of the two things.
Mark clearly pissed off about the Cleveland Browns factor of sadness drop.
Yeah, no.
Take it out on you.
All right, here we go. The Indianapolis Colts, the defending AFC South champions, they added another talented wide receiver in Philip Dorsett. We talked about him on Saturday. But I'm not one that's in on that pick. I think this team had, double 50 burgers dropped on it in the last two playoffs. And you add a wide receiver at the top of the draft, go get a little more physical on your get better on your defensive line, get more protection up front, maybe get somebody in the back end. But a wide receiver, it didn't feel like a pick. I know it's like pick the best guy on your board, but maybe that's not always the right move.
The Colts, to me, feel like one of these teams that is doing everything they can to beat one team, and that's the New England Patriots. And they're going to play them again in the playoffs if it's going to, you know, if the roadmap is what we expect. And I actually do like that.
Got to be careful with that, though, because, yeah, that's how it's been. But the rest of the conference is getting better meanwhile.
Well, it's reckless, but maybe they're just obsessed with it, and that's what stands in between them and the Super Bowl. And they have, you know, you go out and get Andre Johnson. You add this draft pick. You've got Frank Gore replacing Trent Richardson. That's obviously a massive upgrade if they can get even one season or two out of Gore. And I look at Indianapolis, and they are going for it. And maybe, yeah, they overlooked some of what would have been more meat and potatoes type situation for them. But, listen, they got to the AFC Championship last year with one of the best quarterbacks we're going to see in our lifetime, so I like it.
Unpopular pick among fans, unpopular pick among writers. And then PFT had a report we were talking about, Dan, that an unpopular pick among some of the Colts players who didn't understand what was happening.
What if you, instead of saying his position is wide receiver, what if you say his position is Devin Hester?
Because his return skills are part
that's
of the reason
why they drafted
him
for his
a first round pick.
Well, he's going to probably do again some end around, some slants, some deep routes. You know, but
return guy.
But return guy, I think
seems like a luxury pick though, and that still sounds
well,
like
if,
that.
Well, if they pick up Henry Anderson in the third round, who a lot of people saw as a first round talent, and if that guy's your big defensive tackle hoss or defensive end hoss, maybe you killed two birds with one stone.
I would like to see in the NBC introductions. Them say Philip Dorsett playing Devin Hester.
Playing the Devin Hester role.
That's just a new thing. That just would be the Hester. Ultimate honor to have a position named after you.
By the way, Jim Irsay comes out and says that the goal is to win two championships in the Andrew Luck era. Who caps the
right,
number of titles you want to win?
That feels a little modest.
Don't you want to win every year?
I think so.
Well, it also, to me, it seems strange. Like, so after the first one, well, we were just halfway there. Like, yeah. Can't get too excited about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It's another, by the way, it's another shot at Peyton Manning.
That really is. Ooh. It does feel like a shot at Peyton Manning.
Everybody always taking shots. It's like him and Rank and Damashek at all times. Greg Rosenthal, you are up next with what team?
The Houston Texans.
Yum.
And what really stuck out to me with the Texans is their first three picks were filling the biggest needs on their team. Really thin at cornerback. Have a two good starters, but absolutely no one after that. And so they take what a lot of people thought were was the safest cornerback in the draft, Kevin Johnson, who can play zone defense, which Romeo Crennel likes to do. They have no one at inside linebacker, really, and they take Bernardrick McKinney, who people think can start right away. He also has a little flexibility play on the outside. And then they're also very thin at wide receiver. They get a good value in Jalen Strong. So it's one of those that they really sort of check the boxes. I think people should be happy with this Texans draft.
They've been looking for that inside linebacker next to Brian Cushing, it seems like, for over half a decade now.
Well, now they need the inside linebacker next to Brian Cushing, and they need the inside linebacker that's replacing Brian Cushing. Because Brian Cushing's career at this point is not something that we know is going to continue,
maybe,
right?
Brooks,
I mean,
Reed
could
have
moved
four
last year.
Other brothers.
I'm just saying we don't really know if he's going to be there really long term. Some people think they were going to play McKinney outside, which they're also – I mean, they're thin at that linebacker spot, I think, regardless. They just re-signed Whitney Mercilus. But I don't know. I like this.
A lot of money for Whitney Mercilus, by the way.
Yeah,
I like the strong pick at wide receiver. I mean, they needed to upgrade that position. But, again, another team, like how much hope can you have in the Texans with their quarterback situation?
I like the move that he immediately asked for number 11 because he was the 11th wide receiver drafted, and he wants to remember every day and all the teams that passed on him. That's the Paul Pierce move. Pierce did the same thing with
his
number.
He's like, I will have a bigger chip on my shoulder.
Made people pay the rest of his career.
He should call himself The Truth, too, one of the great nicknames.
I love that the day after the draft, there's like 18 posts about players with chips on their shoulder.
Paul Pierce?
Over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the first one. Jimmy Jackson was The Truth, former Ohio State star, then Dallas Maverick.
Are you doing
really?
Jimmy The Truth Jackson, yeah.
Are you doing okay with Pierce the Spurs out of the playoffs, by the way?
It really decreases my interest in the rest of the playoffs. But, you know, it was I think, arguably – I would argue the greatest first round series in NBA history. Mm.
Houston Texans fans, they cannot get enough Texans information in this segment. They will be happy.
I know I was about to go into it. How about that Dikembe Mutombo series when he was the 8th seed and they came
back?
The
Nuggets won. Yeah, that was a good series, but I think these two teams were stronger.
Bulls Celtics a couple years ago. That was great.
That was a good one.
Young Rose.
No, we're sorry, Texans. Texans are going to get a lot of buzz, I think, as a trendy sort of playoff type of team.
Go ahead,
don't
pick
you think?
Them.
I'm not going to. Damashek loves him.
No, thank you.
It's a talented team other than the quarterback.
You should have gone out and upgraded on Ryan Mount and Brian Hoyer if you wanted us to talk about you.
Mm. Well,
all that Ryan Mallett talk, that's one thing I am looking forward to. We're going to see if that guy can actually play because I'm sick of the Mallett crowd pumping that guy up for no reason.
Check.
Dan won about a $250 dinner out of it.
That's true. All right, Chris Wessling, you're up.
Well, you've got the Tennessee Titans, which, you know, now they have an identity.
Oh, the former and once again Tennessee Titans.
Yes. Now they have Marcus Mariota, Doriel Green Beckham. They've got this great offensive – not I don't know about great, but they've got an intriguing young offensive nucleus. How long until they seriously challenge the Colts for the division title?
Wow. I love that.
How many years? Over, under two?
It's so hard because we don't know if he's any good. But if he's good.
Right.
If he becomes a top 10 quarterback – and I don't know what Ryan Grigson's doing in Indy, down on the Colts personally. 2 years.
This Wesseling love affair, this Wesurrection for the Tennessee Titans is one of my favorite trends of the new season.
Well, look, I've been trying to give them attention since I started at this company because, you know, I have a protest against the fact that the Jets sneeze and everyone writes like,
rightly so.
Can we transcribe that sneeze and then just put it in the headline?
Super Bowl III champions. Look into
well,
it.
One yeah. thing, though. Let's Mariota, number one, it's not easy to come in and be successful as a rookie. We're only 3 years removed from the Jaguars and the Titans drafting first-round top 15 quarterbacks and saying 3 years ago offseason, now they're going to come in and they're going to challenge and win. None of it worked.
You're 1 year removed from the Jaguars drafting Blake Bortles and nobody knows who he is.
Right.
I mean, nobody knows what he is.
Not yet.
Sure. I mean, it's going to take time. If you're Ken Whisenhunt, I think this bought you a longer lease as the coach. It really did.
Gives you an extra year.
It gives you a lease.
Yeah.
He's got to prove that he can develop a young quarterback. We can hand you Hall of Famers and you can get 10 or 11 wins. Have a nice day. But this is on him taking a quarterback that is not coming from a pro-ready system. That's why it's interesting to watch for me.
And prove that he can adapt his offense. You can question who got the credit for adapting to Kurt Warner. Is it Todd Haley? Was it Ken Whisenhunt? They have a lot of weapons. Hunter Wright, Dorial Green Beckham. It is a fun team we talked about on the show to watch.
I take it back, by the way. I initially agreed with you that it's going to give them a longer leash, but if they have a bad season, I could see that management saying, whoa, 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 we got to get out of this, get somebody in, tailor them exactly to Mariota.
They're going to have new management soon, aren't they? Aren't they up for sale?
Yeah, well, there's ownership issues. I mean, yeah, there's a lot in flux. He's got to go out and show big progress.
He's got to. But the thing you want to get excited about, and maybe you could get excited about Blake Bortles too if you want, but you want Andrew Luck to have a true rival in the division, a quarterback. That's why this division is not going to be sexy until that happens. Maybe Mariota becomes that guy.
That's a good point.
Why did they, by the way, they took a fourth-round fullback. Yeah, let's hold off.
What year is it?
Let's hold off with the fourth-round fullback. I'm also
way
a big,
to go, Rustin.
I'm also a big fan of sixth-round pick left outside linebacker Deontres Mount. I mean, that's one of you those know, names.
Give me
that's
something.
That's just a great
give me
name,
something on
Deontres Mount.
Give me something on him.
Well, I just like his name.
Okay.
They have a million outside linebackers.
Finally, Mark Sessler. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
An endless stream of like untoward references by Greg in this podcast.
That wasn't untoward. Whoa. I just liked his name.
What about the you know you're going at Wes about Wes's body parts?
That's fair.
All right.
The Jaguars.
Well, all right. Obviously, we drop them fourth here because it's the Jaguars. But
not a power rankings, by the way.
Okay. Well, at some point, you've got to have. There's got to be a tipping point for number one on defense. You went out and got your quarterback last year. And any team that passed on Leonard Williams is going to be examined closely because that's exactly what the Jaguars did. But I really think we heard from even before the class that they loved Dante Fowler. That they and, you know, this front office, give them this. They took Blake Bortles at number three when a lot of teams didn't know where that guy should be picked. They know who they want in these drafts, and they go out and get him. Jeremiah called Fowler. He said he plays as hard as anyone in the entire draft class. And this is a defense that had 45 sacks last year, six in the league. They still have issues on defense, but they can rush the passer, not always when they want to, but maybe this is the kind of guy that you, if Ken Whisenhunt's in trouble, I think this is coaching staff absolutely has to turn the corner.
The entire regime, to me, is absolutely up against it right now, and that is damning them with faint praise, saying that they know who they want and they go get them. We got to see if they know what they're doing. We still have no idea what they know what they're doing.
You know who was like that? Was Gene Smith, their former GM, because he would take guys out of nowhere that you never heard of. And for a little while, people thought, ooh, that guy's creative. And then it turned into the worst roster in the league.
Right, well, Fowler was no reach here, though.
No, Fowler is the missing piece for them. They have not had an outside pass rusher in, I don't know. I can't think of when was the last outside pass rusher Jacksonville had. And you're right, though. They've coached up a really good or improving defense despite not having that.
The one other position, I mean, they really were going after running back very hard in free agency. They couldn't get anyone. And, you know, they go out and they get T.J. Yeldon. And I'm not going to pretend that I watched 17 hours of this guy's college career, but I found a quote from a scout who said, after people are saying, oh, Denard Robinson, sit down, this scout wrote, for being a creative back of Yeldon, he has no juice to get away from anyone. He's a rotational back. I wouldn't take him any sooner than the fifth because you can find guys like that all over the place.
That's a 36th overall pick. Well,
they must disagree. That must not have
and
been
they thought strongly. Yeah. They thought strongly about Toby Gerhardt last year, so maybe this team could have a bit of a blind spot in the backfield.
They
so.
Were desperate to take a running back. If you read Mike Silver's article inside the Jaguars' war room, Gus Bradley was pounding the table to take Yeldon and get what he thought was a bell cow back. So we'll see if that's a little bit of a reach.
Did they do enough to put some new weapons, Wes, around Blake Bortles, who they need to see progress from? 10 seconds.
I don't know. I mean, outside of Derek Marks coming off an ACL injury and Julius Thomas, who they signed, who's a star on this roster? Like a difference-making talent.
The one thing I'd say is they used last year.
They have
year.
A lot of young talent, right. But it's all like he might develop into a good starter.
You got to hope Bortles.
Yeah.
Moving on, finally, to the AFC West. And I'll start again, Mark, not a power rankings. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Clearly not.
Up first. I thought they should have been more aggressive in deepening their wide receiver group. There is a stat out there, Greg. No touchdowns by the Chiefs wide receivers in 2014.
You're fired.
Some people are aware of that. Some
Get out.
People are not.
Get out of the studio.
Pop quiz. Mark Sessler, because you're good at this game. Who is slotted on our lads to be starting across from Jeremy Maclin for the Chiefs this season?
That might be young Hemingway, our friend. I don't know.
DeAnthony Thomas, who's
that's why you don't treat our lads like a Bible.
All right, who's the guy?
It's supposed to be Albert Wilson and Chris Conley, the rookie they drafted, will be competing for the job opposite Maclin.
Well, I kind of like Albert Wilson.
So do I, as a fourth receiver, not a second receiver.
Before we get into it, I get into this because with the third round pick, they selected Chris Conley, wide receiver out of Georgia. So maybe you like DeAnthony Thomas, who showed some playmaking skills last year. Maybe you think Albert Wilson is a guy who could progress. But really, you would think that Chris Conley, their third round pick, is going to get a chance at a starting job out of the gate. Should they have gone a little higher and gotten a more promising player higher in this draft than the 76th pick?
How many third round wide receivers come in and start day one? It's rare for that to happen.
Right. Yep.
And DeAnthony Thomas, he's a little chess piece that uses 10 snaps a game. He's not a guy who's going to start.
Well, they're not an NFL offense. They're a totally weird existence of a team that just throws passes under 8 yards. So their whole, like, maybe a wide receiver that goes deep, like, isn't even that useful for them.
Well,
their playmakers are Jamaal Charles and Travis Kelce. And now Jeremy Maclin, too. So it's just they're a wild, wacky, weird offense.
They will be remembered in the two best wide receiver classes we've seen in ages and ages as a team that didn't use that at all to improve their team. And outside of Maclin, a guy that Reed knows Maclin, so he's going to go get these players he likes.
Points, Tesla.
Come on, Kansas City. How are you going to sell tickets?
Wait, wasn't that my point?
I think that Dan.
Wow. Isn't that how
we
started this?
We're just padding Dan's point.
Right.
Dan made an excellent point.
I guess I was thinking about how these last two classes were so good and historic, and you know
they kind of punted on taking a big chance on a wideout.
All right, point for Dan. Too.
No, I'm not looking for points.
Wait, now we're around the horn.
Yeah, now we're really doing negative.
We're all fired
to Wesley.
Why
for mentioning around the horn?
Oh, okay.
You know what? I'm a little. It's a little depressing when you think about it. It does seem like by the time with this weird offense that they have and Alex Smith involved and Andy Reid, they're going to be wasting Jamaal Charles's prime. It's going to be 32 years old before we know it. And really one of the more underrated backs of his generation is going to be history.
It's depressing to think that they have Charles and Kelce on their team. And yet, if you had to rank teams you would want to watch next year, ballpark, where is Kansas City?
28 and down.
25th.
Dan?
28th.
Yeah.
28 and a half and 29 and a half right in the middle.
It's the quarterback.
All right, moving on. Chris Wessling, give us a I'm sorry, Greg Rosenthal, gotta keep with the faith. The San Diego Chargers.
All right, let's talk a little about this Chargers draft.
I'm
gonna start in the second round because people
makes sense.
People, we'll talk about Melvin Gordon in a second. But why do they keep investing so much time, money, and energy on inside linebacker? They gave a massive contract to Donald Butler, who was a disappointment last year. Maybe they're getting rid of him. They get Manti Te'o, who you probably has a similar skill set to a lot of fifth.
By the way, nice fake girlfriend. You hear about that?
Crazy. And now they take Denzel Perryman. And I don't know, maybe Denzel Perryman will be great, but it was a strange move to me for a team that's already picked up a lot of inside linebackers.
So you were a huge fan of what they did there?
No. That's all I got. You know, just of
a team.
I thought
they needed a pass rusher, not an inside linebacker.
They need a pass rusher.
You've got Melvin
Ingram. Wide receivers.
And Jeremiah Tadashu.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. Well, I dare you to name any player on this roster who's had more than 6 sacks in a season.
That's a fair point. I mean, they're really counting on Ingram. So I thought they needed something there. They had to trade up to get Gordon. We'll see if they really needed to.
I don't have a problem with going out and getting that running back.
They needed that running back. In fact, I thought they should have made a push for one of those free agents, DeMarco Murray, I remember predicting. They needed that guy desperately, so they went out and they got him. I really like that pick.
And he's going to be a three-down type of guy. I mean, you put him, and then on third downs when you don't use him, you have Woodhead in.
Well, Brandon Oliver. I mean, they have some interesting different running backs, and I can't stop thinking about what they were at the end of 2 seasons ago when Ryan Matthews was enjoying his best year, and they were just pounding people with the run and taking the heat off Phillip Rivers. They can do that again if they hit on this Gordon pick.
I like that you can't stop thinking about it.
I can't stop thinking about it. It keeps you up at night.
Now,
I have a lot of other responsibilities that are just completely cast aside, and I can't get it off my mind.
Those 13 Chargers, they had it all.
Here's why. You know, I just am a little – was thinking, we'll see. They might have gotten a little freaked out by the Texans, or the Texans had a nice little pump fake because they traded up – to just go up 2 picks, they gave up a 4th and a 5th because they were worried that the Texans were going to take them in between. So you want to talk about a smokescreen maybe working? Maybe that would – you know, the Texans –
the Texans only get into the minds of other teams and shake things up. We've seen this.
I've got a friend – Brad Spicer, who I've known for a long time.
Hey, Braddo!
I trust him on...
Hey, Spicy!
I trust him on college evaluation more than anybody, and he sent me a text moments before the draft started saying, if the Cowboys draft Melvin Gordon, I guarantee you he leads the NFL in rushing as a rookie. Mm.
DJ like Gordon as much or more than Gurley. He seems like a very safe and yet exciting pick. So
he needs to have a column, the Spice Rack, and it's just
spice
draft
report.
Nuggets.
Oh, I like that, the Spice Rack. Yeah,
take something up the Spice Rack, Spicy. Next up, the West, and this was the Wessling, and this was not an accident.
The buzzer arrived just in time.
The Raiders.
Well, you know, I approach this exercise as I would raise questions for the group.
Okay.
And the first question that came to my mind was, how long until each of these draft picks is released by Reggie McKenzie?
Oh, wow.
On the same day that James Jones is released, 1 year after he signed, which is, you know, 1 year after Matt Schaub, 1 year after Maurice Jones-Drew, Lamar Woodley, this is what the Raiders do. But
rest in peace, Wes's mentions after this podcast goes live.
Already blocked all the Raiders fans. They can't mention me.
They had a good draft last year, not just the first two picks. They got contributions from their third, the fourth,
which
their
is
fifth
why
round pick. It was a very good draft.
Which is why I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
Are the building blocks of Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Khalil Mack, and C.O. Moore strong enough to win more than four games? Because basically, that's the Raiders. That's their job now. Win more than four games. Keep your fans interested.
One of my favorite things that teams do is if you go out and you get a quarterback, and then you like him, the next year, because you're still probably going to be crappy because your quarterback needs some time, so you'll get a good pick. Then go get one of the best wide receivers in the class, and then you have two young guys, and maybe they develop into like a superstar rapport together. That's what I think the Raiders did here. If both those guys hit, you could build an offense around those two players. But as we've talked about in this podcast before, we have no idea yet if Derek Carr is any good.
Right.
So until we know that, that really tells you everything about that organization and Reggie McKenzie's future.
Khalil Mack, absolutely. And they hit that out of the park.
I agree.
With Carr, I just don't want to make a final decision on a quarterback after 1 year. I know that's what they ask us to do all the time, but there needs to be more snaps, more games, and more experience for him until we know.
Sure, no one disagrees with that.
Who's they?
Amari Cooper. I don't know, the people.
Shadowy league figure.
They're signing paychecks. They're small paychecks. You know, Amari Cooper, very, very widely regarded as like a perfect guy to go at this pick. So, I mean, for all the stuff McKenzie's done that has you sitting there scratching your head, where he's been put at the draft, you can only screw it up if you don't go out and get the guy that's the best player. And he did that with Khalil Mack last year, and I think he might have done it again with Cooper.
That's fair. I'm more worried about the coaching staff. I'm just as worried about the coaching staff as I am about the roster. So when you brought up that question, my thought is, well, can Jack Del Rio, Bill Musgrave, and Ken Norton Jr. Really max out a team's roster? And I have my doubts on that. And this roster isn't very good. And it's been so long since the Raiders have been good that it's like hard to even imagine them winning more than six games.
I don't want to keep swinging positive on the Raiders, but here's one thing that maybe is good about the dynamic that's going on there, because the coaching staff that came in has enough power to tell McKenzie, you go cut all these players that you brought in last year that aren't going to win for us. I mean, that's not what GM wanted to do.
Del Rio did not inspire confidence with his player evaluation. And by the way, second-round pick Mario Edwards Jr., from what everyone says, was a terrible pick.
Oh, really?
Greg, did you notice the sneaky wage grievance there by Sessler?
No. I didn't find it to be that sneaky. I thought it was right out there.
I was tuned out by then.
Finally, Mark Sessler, the last team in the AFC, the Denver Broncos.
I was looking at their draft, and I think number one, the real theme here was Kubiak having to go out and get guys that he can use in his offense, which from an offensive line standpoint, they made a change at center. They bring in Max Garcia. And another guy that I just watched probably four or five games of his from each of his past few seasons. This is a zone-blocking center.
Where did he go to school?
Well, you know, that's not the important part. We're talking about where he's now, and he's in Denver. And
nice recovery, Mark.
Thank you. He's going to do fine. I think that's a good pickup. They went and got a tight end in Jeff Howerman that fits that offense. And on defense, you know, you have DeMarcus Ware, and you got Von Miller, and you go out and get Shane Ray. So it's basically saying we are just going to dominate one aspect of the game on defense, and if Shane Ray pans out, that could be interesting. I think, you know, Denver didn't have as many needs as some of these other teams, and they went out and they went best player available.
Yeah, I think the Shane Ray pick was definitely best. It was, this guy's a top 10 talent, and he's available here. Let's trade up.
Right.
That's the best trade pass rushing duo or trio in the league. Oh, if yeah. Ray's any good.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law sent me a text after the pick saying how great it was that he was going to a marijuana-friendly state. My mother-in-law dropped it.
Well, that was yeah. – there seemed to be some mentions of that on Twitter.
He likes pot.
So he's not going to get in trouble with the law, but just the long arm of the commissioner or
Rog.
Whoever makes the policy in the NFL.
Seems like a great pick. I wonder if there was no weed bust or the whatever the citation, if he would have been a top 15 pick. I love that value.
Yes.
There were also concerns about his foot. I think he had surgery.
There was, but there was also a thought he could go as high as 5 or 6.
Right.
I mean, I think that was probably the most popular Jets mock pick. People thought, I think it would have been a surprise if he got out of the top 10. So that's a great value for John
and
Elway in a win now mode. I mean, they got to win.
This one's for John. and let's face it, like when you're talking about the Broncos too, like this draft class, they need instant contributors. No one has a smaller window right now than the Broncos. Mm. It's next year or bust, and they're probably kind of blown up the machine after 2015. So they need these guys to be instant contributors at the top of this draft if they're going to be, you know, for this era of the Broncos.
Yeah, it's like
1 point Hansus.
It's weird to think that anyone they're drafting now is essentially going to be brought in for the post-Peyton Manning era. Because he ain't playing after this season.
Well, their second-round pick might have been a pick for the future, not a guy to play right now.
Which is fine.
Because Ryan Clady right now is no longer Ryan Clady, and he might not be long for the roster.
He's not a left tackle, though, is he? I thought he was a right tackle slash guard.
I think they're
going
to try to use him at both.
I think it's fine to have project guys because you need to think about the next page, but I feel like you need this draft to have some guys that are going to come in right away. You got to win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree, and I think their roster is good enough to win it. People are giving up on the Broncos too fast.
Well, it all depends on their quarterback. Is his arm still his arm? I don't know what else it would be.
That's it.
That was a success.
That was fun.
That's good.
I mean, we ripped off a ESPN property, but
I didn't know that, though. Did we?
What,
they have a
Greg.
Have
that usually works. I didn't know that excuse. Well, that'll get you.
Hey, newsflash! There were buzzers before ESPN existed.
I didn't realize that I copy and pasted 3 graphs from the New York Times and stuck it into my story and then click publish.
I didn't realize we were ripping off my 5th grade basketball game. I mean, buzzers. They have a lot of uses.
We
didn't put a face on a popsicle stick, at least.
We brought mirth to it, and I think that's enough for the intellectual property to be protected. If not, TD's involved in the lawsuit, so either way, it's kind of like a win-win.
TD, true or false, you learned more in that 48 minutes than any Move the Sticks podcast.
No comment.
Oh, what the heck?
Well, we've referenced Daniel Jeremiah
a number of times.
How often does he reference us?
I'll tell you this.
Zero.
The new Move the Sticks podcast coming out later today.
Wait, he still does them? I thought he's shutting it down.
I'll listen
February.
To that, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Maybe you guys listen to it, too.
Okay. I listen to it.
Yeah.
Got to clean out my sock drawer.
I saw a new you guys bought a new ball and chain for Billick, I heard, for the upcoming season. Time in the studio. All right,
got to do.
That's it for Tuesday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Like I said earlier, Thursday we'll do the NFC, all 16 teams, and they have some proper coverage for you.
Real shout out to another Zach Adacius, the last Zach Dresser. His birthday is today.
Happy birthday, Drizzle!
Stan Hansa signing off for the mailman. Quiet storm, Jesus, the boss, and TD behind the glass.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country. Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.